Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High that we're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promise times of refreshing are upon us. The time to rediscover the ancient truths. The time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten, my truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, has he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things. Precious truths. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed. When indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah.
Indeed, we are back again for another episode, another very, very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Indeed, so very thankful to the Most High for this very precious opportunity. It's this very precious opportunity to be back with you here again, speak these very precious words. For the Most High told me, yes, he's told me these words for the healing of our people. And indeed, I must tell you things. Yes, and indeed, I must tell you things. That men have done some of everything they could. Yes, some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall. To hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And I dare say, my brothers and sisters, if they could. I said, if they could, to destroy. The truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, we're going to have to understand a very precious, precious truth. Many have chosen in so many ways to utterly, completely ignore. We were warned, my brothers and sisters. I have said we were warned that without a doubt, without a question, there are those who in what the scriptures call the falling away, the apostasy, the falling away from faithfulness unto one. There are those who the scriptures forewarned us in advance. I said that the scriptures forewarned us in advance. To compel men after wicked and lawless misrule already existing in this earth, to compel men to despise the greater truth of the Most High. Compelling men to have no great love of the truth. Compelling men, my brothers and sisters, to prefer unrighteousness. Prefer less than that pure, perfect word, so very necessary. I said, causing men to aspire to something far less than that pure, perfect word that is absolutely necessary. Hear my brothers and sisters. Causing men to aspire to, even giving their allegiance to, standards far less than that pure, perfect word that is necessary to genuinely honor the Most High, the Maker, as He is. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, Amos, for instance, 8:11-12, talks about a time. And then we look to and fro the earth, if you will, seeking through sea and land for the word of the Most High. By that I mean the unadulterated, pure, perfect word, and its right understanding. For to know what is said and not know why it is said is to miss the point. For many of these, my brothers and sisters, who gainsay the word of the Most High after their own advantage, but that is not by any means what the Most High calls his word, his seal of approval, his promise. Amos 8:11-12 speaks about how men one day would go through sea and land searching for the word of the Most High. That pure, perfect, healing word that would bring man unto consolation in agreement with the Most High, and will not find it. Isaiah 28 speaks about how in the time of Messiah's appearance, Most High looked upon from on high. To my Psalms 14:53, collaborating the same word. Isaiah 59, collaborating the same idea. Isaiah 56:9-57:14, relating the same idea. For when Messiah is appearing for many generations, the Most High looks upon the world and seeing no place clean. What do I mean by that? It means that wherever it is across this world, the men have called upon the name of the Most High, because of faulty foundations, because men have been controlled under the minds of those who compel them to placate, assimilate with worldly status quos, corrupt, polluted, tainted, partial. But the Most High is found in the earth, no place clean. So much scripture says this again and again, my brothers and sisters. Though men, especially those in places of power, would not have you to know it, the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, is this. Rulers would prefer you never know, that their partial and polluted standards stand against the pure, perfect will of the One. They would have you never to realize that since there is one supreme being, maker of heaven and earth, that every partial, every polluted, every tainted, every adulterated standard, every compromised, hypocritical standard, that is made for so many differences of belief, all of those standards that divide this world against the pure, perfect word of the Creator, every single one of them, all these standards that divide this world against the pure, perfect will of the Creator, every single one of them is a trap and a snare from whence all men must be set free. It means that every partial standard on this earth, what does it say? Unto him every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. That means that men shall finally realize there's only one Savior, one salvation. Even though according to the book of Judah, they call Jude, it is written that false brethren have come in and intruded among the churches, and intruded among the congregations, causing men to deny the fact that there indeed is but one Lord, one Savior, one righteousness, my brothers and sisters, one consummate truth after which men might find perfect agreement with the Maker. But my brothers and sisters, what that means is that all those standards of this world, these lesser standards of the world, must all be subordinated. They must all, my brothers and sisters, be overcome. They must all be transcended, because by no means will the Maker accept this multitude of corruptions as true to his name. In fact, my brothers and sisters, men have actually worshipped devils unaware when somehow they have believed, directly in opposition to what the scriptures have said, that the name of the Most High should never be, how about the name, the oath, the vow to the Most High should never be taken in vain, should never be taken after any lesser standard. In fact, my brothers and sisters, there's another way of looking at this. Isaiah 48 tells us, my brothers and sisters, that men have sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness, that the Most High will not give his glory nor his honor unto another. He will not have his name insulted. He will not, by any means, my brothers and sisters, be destabilized by the multitude of variant misconceits of man. the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, is this. One of the biggest problems that existing amongst the religiosities of this time is that men have somehow believed that after human compromise, somehow men have believed that the name of the Most High can be mocked. But the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, the Most High can never, if you hear my brothers and sisters, never acceptable unto him is any stasis after which men would dare say the Most High could be misrepresented. It is written, be not deceived, the Most High is not mocked, meaning he is not to be misrepresented. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, if the Most High is misrepresented by any lesser or polluted standard, if any man should seek to do so, after the flesh, after such corruption, after such pollution, taint, hypocrisy, and lesser ideals, man reaps destruction. That the spirit that teaches all things, that is his only hope, in remembrance of all things the Most High declared, that man have the hope of eternal life. We live in a world today, my brothers and sisters, that has compelled men even to fear transcending the status quo into which they are born. I repeat, men have been compelled even to fear transcending the variant status quo, the divisive institutionalities and allegiances in this world into which they are born. But I tell you now, my brothers and sisters, but the reason why Messiah said, be not afraid, for I have overcome the world. It is because, my brothers and sisters, none of this world's lies, none of its partial standards, none of its misconceits, none of its disagreements is a covenant. In fact, my brothers and sisters, all must learn to purely and perfectly agree with the Most High in all things that he has said. Acts 3:18-23. What does it read, my brothers and sisters? Acts 3:18-23 says that there will come surely a time of the restoration of all things, according to all the Most High spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since this world began. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not hear that prophet about his cumulative message shall be cut off from among the people. It's important, my brothers and sisters, that we know this. For all who will bear the holy name, all who will be sealed and confirmed beyond all the variant standards of this world, the marks of unreasoning, beastly nations, all those who would overcome the world, the divisions that are in it, the corruptions that have been in it since the dawn of human fall, all they, my brothers and sisters, who would overcome the world, must be willing to hear heaven's cry for that pure, perfect standard that offers just one choice. And whoever, my brothers and sisters, is so biased after any of the misconceits of this world, the deceits of this world that cause men not to perceive what is yet so needed to receive, whoever will not transcend those illusions, my brothers and sisters, is not only deceived, but also a deceiver. And my brothers and sisters, the curses and divisions in this world that are a result of men taking counsel other than that which came from Yah himself. All such fallen standards must be in all things, my brothers and sisters, transcended and overcome. We must attain then, therefore, in honor of the Most High for this conscience. Beyond all worldly contradictions. Bear with me for just a moment. Hopefully the transmission is coming through clearly. I'm checking all the settings for everything here in the little studio. I just want to be sure that sound quality is good. It's important that this message be heard in this clarity. Important, my brothers and sisters, we understand these things. It's important that we understand what Messiah meant. Thank you for your patience. It's important that we understand what Messiah meant when he said these words. He said, whoever is ashamed of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, he said, I will be ashamed of before my Father and before his angels. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's imperative that we understand the real meaning of these words. I repeat, it's imperative that we understand the real meaning of these words, because much has been misunderstood concerning what is implied by them. Predisposition must be understood in discerning these words. It's in discerning that Messiah came to relate. The exceeding truths of the Most High that by and large the variant rulers of this world are sought not only, my brothers and sisters, to neglect, but if possible also to disavow. It's an insane thing that we live in a world that men say are called the Most High, the Most High, the Maker, and then they are to say that he has no rule, so that men fall victim to whatever preconditioning, worldly misorientation has for so long blinded the mind against discerning beyond the veils of worldly misconceit. I repeat, my brothers and sisters, it is a shame that we must consider this truth. If man is not subject to the exceeding wisdom of the Most High, the exceeding, if you will, grace that grants exceeding knowledge of the Most High, then man is easily, my brothers and sisters, made prideful after an abominable lawlessness. Prideful, my brothers and sisters, after a multitude of insults that mock and misrepresent the truth of the Most High. And my brothers and sisters, I dare say, the men need to understand that wherever it is men believe that lesser standards are viable before the Most High, men have been devil worshippers unawares. So much scripture, I repeat, so much scripture relates again and again. I said, my brothers and sisters, so much scripture relates again and again, that Messiah comes for the express purpose to approve the whole world of all its differences. I want you to consider something. Isaiah 41, Messiah coming saying, listen to me, O isles, and hearken to me, O you nations, and let my people renew their strength. Isaiah 49, Messiah coming saying, keep silence before me, O ye isles. Listen to me, O ye nation. Most High called me from the womb, even scripture saying from the body of my mother. Has he consecrated me? How about the oath in his name, in the Father's name? Isaiah 50, 10 through 11. If among you has no light, he does not have that invariant word, let him trust in him who is called by the name of the Most High and be saved by his God. Scriptures even go as far as to say the Messiah will come forth and say that if any man walks after the light that he is tempting, or with the suppositions of his mind, this he shall have of the Savior's hand, that one shall lie down in sorrow. It means, my brothers and sisters, that a whole world is going to have to awaken to a pure perfect truth, after which at last there can be an agreement, a covenant, my brothers and sisters. For indeed, among the nations, all conflicted one against another, dividing this world against the will of one, after a multitude of fallen standards. None of that, my brothers and sisters, is the covenant unto peace. None of that is the true prayer unto the Most High, according to the fullness of his purpose. I want you to think about it for a minute. The ultimate command, Messiah said himself, Mark 12, 9-31. Hear, O Israel, heed, give ear, give heed, give diligent heed. Obey and understand, O Israel, ultimately together. It really means that our utmost command before the Most High is that we all must love and seek Him for all that is His will, with all our mind, heart, souls, and might. And in this can we become a nation that genuinely loves one another, true to the will of one. Yeah, I want you to think about it. Men today are compelled to pray for their respective nations. Wow. My brothers and sisters, many are made prideful today. They say, once we were king, I want you to ask a question. Think about the book of Genesis. Just think about it for a minute. Think about Psalms 2. Kings, wise nations rage, and the people imagine vain things. No peace. Because the kings of the earth have taken counsel against the Most High, against His anointed, against the one King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. In Genesis, we find that the adversary, and what do you think about this now? The adversary told man that if he disobeyed the Creator, he could be a god, he could be a king, establishing his own rule. Our brothers and sisters, of those who have been kings in this earth, dividing its territory against its maker, not realizing, according to Psalm 24, what it means when it says the earth belongs to Yah, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. And who shall ascend into the hills of the Most High? Who shall stand in His holy place? But who has clean hands and a pure heart, and is a pure conscience, pure after the will of the Most High, that will not exalt himself unlistically, lift up his soul pridefully after his vanity, standards that do not appease, do not complete, do not heal. Not lifted up his soul under vanity, nor swore deceit, sworn deceitfully. You cannot swear, my brothers and sisters, an oath unto the Most High, and not keep all that is His will, for His very name means He is all in everything that He is. And whoever makes a vow unto His name, my brothers and sisters, whoever be joined with Him in His name, that surname, my brothers and sisters, that declares His majesty. Whoever be joined with Him, my brothers and sisters, must seek all that is divine will, even must seek to be equipped unto the full maturation, manifestation on earth of all that the Most High has decreed. And not lift up his soul under vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So the question is asked, who then is the King of Glory? Who is the word for glory is kabod, or honor? It means honor. Who then is that honorable King? Who is that King, my brothers and sisters, that will magnify the law, elucidate upon all the law, line upon line, precept upon precept, how it all is reinforced, every word reinforced by much more word that is all relevant in the conscience of the Almighty. Who is that honorable King? Who will not compel any man to lift up his soul or exalt himself pridefully in his presumptuous vanity? Who is that King that will compel men not to swear deceitfully, but to swear, make a vow unto the Most High, as he says in Isaiah? We really need to read Isaiah 19:18-25. Compel man to be again in knowing the Most High, how to vow a vow to the Most High and perform it. It says, the scripture says, that King be strong and mighty in battle. That King is a glorious, righteous, and honorable King. But the fact of the matter, my brothers and sisters, throughout this world, men have been far from live to discern what is righteousness beyond the status quo, the nations into which they are born. The reason why the scripture says man must be born again, it means, my brothers and sisters, after the spirit that teaches all things, brings all things to remembrance, raises the conscience to be aware of those things ancient and foretold eternal. That must be brought to present day remembrance. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 46:8-13, Messiah comes forth saying, remember these things and show yourselves men. Remember these things, O you sinners. Bring them again to your mind, O you transgressors, and show yourselves men. Show yourselves fruitive after divine conscience. Imperative, my brothers and sisters, that we all must remember the full glory, the heart of the ancient Hebrew fathers, restored into the conscience of men today. For again, my brothers and sisters, when we read Malachi, third, fourth chapter, it talks about one who's called the Son of Righteousness that arises. Some texts call him the King of the East. The righteous one who is likened to the rising sun, the morning star. Hey, his sun in its rising, my brothers and sisters, makes all that seems light in the night to be pale. That one who comes suddenly like the sun in its arising, to cast out all the darkness, to reveal the light the world would obscure, and expose all those who hide the truth from you. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures speak of Messiah in this wise. It said those who would believe in him who would give him the morning star that was cast out of the darkness. Blessed are they then, my brothers and sisters, who know that ancient expectation and will not be robbed of its hope. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. The one whom the scripture speaks of in Isaiah 41, where it says, "We come forth saying, keep silence before me, O ye eyes, and let my people renew their strength." That one who comes forth saying in Isaiah 49, "Listen to me, O ye eyes, and hearken to me, O ye nations, for the Most High has consecrated me from the birth by his name, to restore Israel, even declare with his salvation, delivering from all misconceits to the ends of the earth." That is the same one that is mentioned also, my brothers and sisters, to raise human conscience, that is related also at Isaiah 44 to 45 to 46. Where in these latter days, indeed, it has begun to occur that many have begun to awaken to a need for a restoration or being, let's just say, reclaiming an identity. Claiming the identity, my brothers and sisters, the only viable identity unto life that is, my brothers and sisters, according to the ancient promises given to the children of Israel. The scripture tells in Isaiah 49, how about Isaiah 48? Wow. All those scriptures talking about people who are sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth and unrighteousness. And this has occurred across the whole world. Isaiah 44 speaks about a people who begin to, unto themselves, to the best of their imagination, seek to reclaim the title to be called, worthy to be called the people of the Most High. But the scriptures go on to declare, that to the best of men's imagination, all they have attained has still not yet been a covenant. It has not been pure and perfect and true unto the will of one. In fact, the scriptures relate that as such, men need to understand that it's only at the call of the Most High who reveal the principles of his name, that they not be violated. It is only, my brothers and sisters, at the behest of the Most High himself in his time that he should reveal one who will declare what is indeed divine absolute. Beyond all the obstacles of man's mismachinations, beyond the obstacles of man's misadministrations and misrule, that indeed, my brothers and sisters, that one whom the Most High has sealed, confirmed, true to the cause of his name, true to the cause of his people, that one whom the scriptures also speak of in Isaiah 14, saying, "That day you will know that I am with my Father and I am with you." That one whom the scriptures spoke of in Johannes 17, I make no request for the world. I make no request for those who will keep this world divided after a short-sighted standard. I make no request then for those who will not hear the exceeding word of the Most High. I make no request for those who seek to twist these words, that the people be separated from what is necessary to make them purely and completely in all things one. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, what did he say? All power from on high, the authority from on high, the authority of the kingdom of Shamayim, Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The kingdom of those who know, discern, and pray the Shema for the peace of a people, the peace of the world, that there might be a covenant into which a people may agree and understand the truth. Hear, O Israel, the Most High is one. We must all be on every difference amongst us in the honor of the Most High and to the honor of His name, not seek to perpetuate any hypocrisy, any misrepresentation. We must all seek the Most High for what is necessary, that beyond every so-called possible difference, we might be true unto one. Yeah. He said, all power from on high, the kingdom of those who know well the Shema. And when Messiah said the utmost command of all, in Mark 12:29-31. That we must all, beyond every difference, seek Him, to be one. All power from on high has been given unto me. All the principles of the kingdom of the Most High Yah, He said, have been given unto me. He said, therefore, to His disciples, go ye forth, make men's souls teachable, make them to understand that there is a divine absolute after which all men shall be held accountable. That's really what it means, my brothers and sisters. Matthew 12:36. Every foolish, stagnating word, deceitful word a man speaks, whatever would be an obstacle against greater fruition and knowledge of the truth. For every word that a man speaks, every partial standard, every polluted standard, every lie that prevents the mind not to receive what needs to be perceived, my brothers and sisters, man will give account for it in the judgment. So he said, go forth and teach all the nations. Convert, make disciples of all the nations. Make men teachable to understand. He said, and teach them. He said, to do. Teach them that they may be co-petition, to perform all that He at the power of His Father, at the power of the Spirit of His Father, has commanded. But how many of us, my brothers and sisters, understand the dispensation, what the Scriptures call the dispensation of the gospel? The gospel, my brothers and sisters, the covenant of the Most High is not of this world. Salvation, the Scripture says, is not of, how about the conceit of men, lest any man should boast. So we must all be a divine workmanship. Talk about Ephesians 2:1-8, then Acts 16. Scripture relates Messiah as being our hope for peace, His workmanship, unto good works which the good works, complete works which Yah has foreordained. That if we're strange to the commonwealth of Israel, what makes Israel a nation? Well, if we restore Israel again as a nation. If we're strange to the covenants of the promise, what we should expect and all prepare for as a mutual requirement. Because we're strange to this knowledge, because we're without hope, without the Most High. Even without the hope of a Savior. Without the Savior. And still yet, my brothers and sisters, in the world, still blinded by the systems of this earth. I said, still yet blinded by the systems of this earth that divide this earth against the pure, perfect will of its Maker. In the world, my brothers and sisters, what does the Scripture say in Yohanan? Messiah said, I make no request for the worldly. Yohanan 17. I make no request for the worldly. I make no request, thank you, Father, for those who will keep this world divided against the will of one. I make no request, he said, for those who would not hear the words from on high, the exceeding being words from on high. I make no request for those who seek to preserve systemic anomalies, systemic corruption. Systemic partiality, systemic pollutions that would keep the people in darkness, not to discern the free flow of the greater light that shows the path from on high. But how many of my brothers and sisters have understood this? We live in a society. I said we live in a society today But so many are afraid of the need to exceed what has been devilishly hypocritical, vain, worthless, damning, divisive, corrupting allegiances to devils. Men have been, my brothers and sisters, afraid to transcend the status quo, the controlling bodies of knowledge, if you will, hegemony, after which they are born. Even though the scriptures tell us that the word of the Most High, the word of life, is a conscience beyond contradiction from the beginning, and that if we are to be his children, it is not after the will of flesh, nor the will of men, but to be, if you will, my brothers and sisters, born and recreated, our conscience raised after the will, mind, and plan of Yah. How have men been, my brothers and sisters, been kept in bondage, far from salvation? Yeah, think about it. What does it read at Isaiah 61? Messiah will come forth saying, the Spirit of the Most High, the Spirit that teaches all things and brings all things to remembrance, teaches us what to expect and what's required of us. He said, the Spirit of the Most High is upon me to preach good. The word for good means whole, complete, pure, and perfect. What is acceptable. Preach good tidings. Hey, a message that can be counted on and relied upon and sure. To preach good tidings, the full message of the Most High, perfectly agreeing with the Most High, unto the meek, those who are willing to hear. He's going to make no request for those who are obstinate and refuse to hear this succeeding word. Therefore, he said, those words are the words that were, that's the exceeding truth that would set men free. Set you free from all the barriers that men have created, choosing to exclude the truth so as to exalt themselves. He said, the Spirit of the Most High is upon me to release the captives. Open the eyes of the blind. To bind up the brokenhearted in any way ever men have fallen short of the covenant and not been of one heart. How about to reveal the missing link? How about you to reveal, my brothers and sisters, the missing truths? How about, my brothers and sisters, to break every chain of illusion that the people might again, strong in the knowledge of the Most High, might transcend their vulnerabilities, their gullibilities to any illusion, having a strong foundation, my brothers and sisters, that the conscience of men should no longer be shackled after the shallow-minded, self-righteous, greedy mind states, and mindscapes, if you will, of those who had established lesser rule against the supremacy of the rule for the one most high. In the previous show, I went through quite a bit, didn't nearly get a chance to relate as much as I would have liked. Concerning the scriptures that, for instance, Isaiah 23rd chapter, 24th chapter, 25th chapter, 26th. Those scriptures relate something about how men oftentimes seeking the favor of people from all many forms of variant multicultural diversities, men seeking to make themselves marketable after a multitude of variant ideas of this world, have ultimately, my brothers and sisters, forsaken their very souls. My brothers and sisters, scripture says, by your diligence, your perseverance in the knowledge of the Most High, seeking to uphold, guard, maintain, and defend the integrity of divine knowledge. The scriptures ultimately say, by this shall you gain your souls. In other words, Messiah said, I am the way of truth unto life. He said, if you love me, if your allegiance is unto me, keep, guard, maintain, defend the integrity of my word. Just have that desire. And he said, and then I'll ask the Father for the Spirit of truth, which the world of those who keep this world divided and keep this world in darkness and ignorance will not receive. It was even asked, why is it that the disciples even asked that question? Why you reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And he says, because there are some who will not keep his word or seek to maintain the integrity of the holy word, will not seek to maintain the integrity of the holy word against this world's desire to corrupt and hypocrisize and compromise the promise. He was saying that the integrity of the pure word of the Most High must be guarded against those who would mock and misrepresent the integrity of divine character. Isaiah 57 talks about how, hear me, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 57 talks about how men have mocked the Most High, mocked the exceeding word of the Most High. I said even mocked the exceeding word of the Most High, so as to sustain their praise of their various kings. For the scripture says, because men have trusted in the multitude of corrupt ways, the rulers would all be swept away like wind and vanity. But only those who put their trust in him shall inherit his holy mountain. Isaiah 23 talks about, the scriptures go to Isaiah 24, talks about a city of chaos and confusion. The same city is spoken of in Isaiah 19:18-25, called the city of destruction, swearing by the name of the Most High, but speaking the language of the ideals, if you will, Egypt and Canaan. But those scriptures are talking about when it speaks about that city called Tyre and Tyrus. Well, that is a prophecy, my brothers and sisters, as to what is to ultimately occur with regard to an entire global system, whereas men have prioritized men making themselves marketable, as I said before, the multitude of variant multicultural diversity is the result of the fall. Sacrificing the integrity of divine will, deceiving one another against the integrity of divine will, afraid to declare and uphold the fact that there is a divine absolute, afraid to declare that faith must be faithful unto the will of one. It relates that city Tyrus, a merchant city, that is equated to Revelation 18, where it says the day will come, and no man will buy them from them, he will buy Babylon's merchandise anymore. What is that merchandise? Men selling a flattering false word. It comforts men in their vanity. It comforts men in their mediocrity. It comforts men to feel they're somehow acceptable in the multitude of their conscious imperfections. Comforting men, my brothers and sisters, in their resistance against learning what is necessary to uphold the integrity of the holy word. That scripture in Isaiah 23 talks about that Tyrus. It's also mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. It's mentioned also, for instance, in heaven help us, in Zechariah, in the 9th chapter. And it talks about a city like that being destroyed when Messiah returns to Israel to speak ultimately what is peace. True gospel unto the nation, to reconcile all peoples as one. Isaiah 19:18-25 speaks of the same. My brothers and sisters, Isaiah 25:1-3-10 echoes Revelation 16:12 concerning the one called the King of the East. It is singular, which is Messiah himself, reproving all the various rulerships of this world. Isaiah 23 talks about the destruction of that city that has causing people to become satisfied with their confusion. Talks about the destruction of that city, that the ruthless nations, the lawless nations, should come to revere the will of one, casting aside all the veil of confusions. All the veil of confusion, my brothers and sisters, that blinded the minds of men, become complacent. And my brothers and sisters, far from faith in the will of one, trusting the anomalies, idiosyncrasies, corruptions of many. But it says, my brothers and sisters, in the absolute truth, then again it's revealed. Men should say, this is the Holy One for whom we have waited. And we rejoice and be made glad in his salvation. So he cast aside the veil of corruption that have blinded all the nations. And the scripture says, he will ordain again on earth, show the world again, indeed, what is the true ordinance. The law of peace, the only law, my brothers and sisters, that will bring order to this world. That's the only law that will bring order, peace again to this world, is the art of him who made it. Blessed are they who understand. When the scriptures say that Yah is one, it means that we need him. Did you hear me? That we need him to discern again what truly is peace. Isaiah 24, my brothers and sisters, says, because men have been willing to compromise, hypocrisize, misrepresent, after what simply appeals to society around them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, whew, heaven help us. The scripture says, Messiah will not judge after what ordinary eyes see and hear, but after the standard is given by the Spirit, shall he judge to expose and destroy every wicked and lawless way. But the scriptures talk about how in Isaiah 29, excuse me, need to go back to Isaiah 24. It talks about how the fate of a, not only the fate of a servant of a misruler, and the fate of the ruler himself, for all who would uphold this box, this set of snares, this multitude of imperfect standards, the fate of them all should be the same, because as with the master, so with the servant. As a servant, as with the maid, so with the mistress. My brothers and sisters, the buyer, also with the seller. Why? Because all have forsaken the eternal and everlasting covenant, the irrevocability of his consciences, to make accommodation. After those, my brothers and sisters, who seem to have control over the resources of this earth, and the scripture calls it the mark of the beast, the standards of the nations, my brothers and sisters, you need to understand something. Like I said, as many have been proud to have been called kings in this world. What does it say in Psalm 2? Be wise, O kings, be instructed, O judges of the earth. Kiss the Son, lest he be angered. Lest he perish in his way while his wrath has been kindled but a little. Revelation 19, Messiah declares an exceeding standard from on high to approve all, I said, all the nations. For in all this world, my brothers and sisters, in all this world, for many, many, many generations, it has been true that men have been subject to institutionality. They would never speak the whole truth, and therefore have been treacherous against their salvation, causing them to draw hasty conclusions, after which they have not realized how much more is still yet before the Most High to be perceived. I want you to think about it. And even as far as we can talk about that, y'all, prayerfully, I want to speak about a lot of other things tonight, but today, but also Hosea. Hosea around, what is it, 9:13? Scripture's even there. Life and Ephraim. Talking about the 10 tribes that were scattered to the north first. And the tribes of Israel were split. Scattered first. In fact, in so many nations, they scattered themselves to the north. North in departure from the ruling house of Israel. So Ephraim has mixed himself with Gentiles, mixed himself with those who know not the command of the Most High and do not respect it. It says, like an Ephraim, the Tyrus. It has to be understood what the Great Tribulation is, my brothers and sisters. It's more than just a physical persecution. It is the confusing of the minds after ideals that can never be a covenant, can never be peace, but can only be trouble. Tribulation, trouble. Not comfort, not peace. Certainly not a covenant with the Most High. Nations all contentious and one against another. They can control territories that don't belong to them. Most High never gave anybody any license to rule over anybody's mind after any conscience less than what is divinely the master's own. But my brothers and sisters, the nations of this earth, the rulers of this earth, the rulers have compelled people to swear allegiance to and even to pray for the perpetuity of their various nations, after which the Most High is not respected as one. I talked to you earlier about the utmost prayer. And that utmost prayer must be that the, all the minds of all Israel and all people of the world become reverently true to the will of one. And that means that whatever you ask in his name shall he give when you ask concerning his name as Savior, as Prince of Peace, as the one who offers the truth the world, whole world needs. It offers the truth the whole world has sought to obscure. When you ask in his name, you're asking also according to the full fruition of what is divine foundation, intent, and goal for this world, which you name. And he said, if you ask in his name, having that desire, he said, this he will grant. Ultimately, unto the honor of the Father. But my brothers and sisters, regretfully, most of, I've even heard somebody say it to me the other day, people pray for all kinds of things. My brothers and sisters, should any man pray against the divine will? Proverbs 28:9. He will not hear the law of the Most High, even his prayers an abomination. Wow. I find it amazing that so few even ask what is before the Most High is pure and perfect conscience. What is, my brothers and sisters, the conscience of the Most High unperturbed, knowing that the Most High will never be destabilized by any of the misconceits of any man? My brothers and sisters, we live in a world today. And so many, somebody even told me the other day, well, I read these scriptures, and they really believe that the Most High has no conscience of his word beyond what his small-mindedness, believing that the variance, somehow that the variances of this world, variances of this world and contradictions of this world could still be somehow wise. They kept saying that all the scholars that were responsible for this and responsible for that. I would people call scholars, my brothers and sisters, the question to be asked. Those are the people called scholars who have been their teacher. If they never can teach the whole truth, who has been the damning master? But there are those who want to believe. There's no need for faith, no need for perseverance under the pure, perfect one beyond a world of contradictions. Well, men, my brothers and sisters, have dared to trust. And what the scriptures call in the book of Yaakov, James, called double-mindedness. What the scriptures say, if a man asks for wisdom, and he seeks to still yet trust the ways of this world are wise, he said, let not that man in his instability even think he receives anything from the Most High. I want you to understand something. No one should make an oath unto the Most High, not seeking all his will, but to seek partiality is only to create other enemies, animosities and obstacles. So I've written behind 15:14. He said, you're my friend. How about my intimate friends? Ones in whom I reveal myself, even the deepest secrets of my thoughts. So you're my friend. If you do, desire to see fully made manifest everything that he has commanded. We live in a society today that people want to believe somehow that devotion into something less, something falling away, could still be viable. But the fact of the matter, my brothers and sisters, never, ever was that true. Taking that into consideration, taking what I just said to you into consideration, while time allows, and said while time allows, I want to give a look. I want to give a look, my brothers and sisters, at some passages of scripture that I related in the intro to this show. There are other places these same words are said. I said in Luke, also in Micaiah, but to make it concise, I'd like to explain some things in Mark 8:34. It's some verses that go into the 9th chapter that have been rarely understood, it seems, by most. I've heard a lot of people different exegesis on the word that I would like to relate, not my slant upon it, but what has been revealed from on high concerning these words. Again, my brothers and sisters, to know what it says, and not to know why it was there is to miss the point. Mark 8:34. He said, when he had called the people unto him, them to him, with his disciples, he said unto them, he said both unto his disciples and those who sought to give audience to his words amongst the people, whoever will come after me, whoever will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How about the persecution of the world and follow me? In other words, though the world might condemn you, stand up for my truth. Stand up for my exceeding words that this world would seek to obscure, to corrupt, to hide. I'll explain more about that. Deuteronomy 21:23 relates the idea of man is accursed who hangs upon a tree. Galatians 3:13. But we have to understand, my brothers and sisters, Messiah was condemned by men who took offense at him revealing the exceeding words of the Most High, that they would not, Most High sent the prophet to speak, but others would not. Whenever the priests and the kings got out of line, the Most High sent prophets. It was a blessing from the Most High. The Most High sent prophets to correct the people, to restore, and bring to remembrance the sense of higher conscience. But by and large, my brothers and sisters, the people have been deprived of. It's important, my brothers and sisters, that we understand also in Acts, for instance, 2:35-40, that it was spoken to the people, that the very one that they, under their rulers, had condemned, Most High made both, let's just say a surname here with his name, as co-master, my brothers and sisters, one after whom the perfect word of the Most High must be communicated to man. I wish I had time to explain that concept much more. But my brothers and sisters, when the people realized that they followed the leadership, false leadership, that was condemned, the exceeding light of the Most High, the first thing they asked is, what shall we do? And this was the doctrine of, per se, Messiah crucified. That men should understand the meaning of the verse that says that he died and rose to be Lord of both the dead and the living. It means he died and rose to prove foolish the misconceit of this world. And to show what indeed, my brother and sister, the exceeding word that is wise. But did I tell you before, I began to tell you earlier about Isaiah 41, Messiah comes saying, keep silent before me, and doesn't want to hear anything of the corrupted or tainted word of this world. Keep silent before me, your heart. And let my people renew their strength. Let them discern beyond all misconceit. Get to the seed out of them midst. There's an Isaiah 58. Messiah comes forth saying, Isaiah 49, listen to me, O you house, and everyone's hopping to the greater truth. So that same one who comes to do that, my brother and sister, is the same one who comes with the spirit of his mouth, the testimony of his lips, like the exceeding conscience of the Most High, exposes all the lawless ones who would keep the people in darkness, Isaiah 11, that all the people shall seek him. He is that one, that Lord, the scripture calls him the Malachi, the Lord whom you seek, who purges out the corruption that has been the priesthood, that righteousness might be restored. He is that one called the Son of Righteousness that arrives, my brother and sister, that men might discern. Malachi 3:18-4, 2-4, 6, that one whom, by whom the scripture says men should discern again the difference between the righteousness and wicked, to be set free, to discern him exactly again was the ancient conscience of the Hebrew fathers, the Most High used to establish the nation. He is that one, my brothers and sisters, as written in Isaiah 44:45, that though many today want to call themselves Israel, will declare an absolute. He is that one, my brothers and sisters, the scripture spoke of, that unto the glory or honor of Yah, his Father, unto whom of the knees shall bow, and every tongue shall swear allegiance, Isaiah 45:6. to all the nations from the rising sun to the west, revere the one Most High Yah, Isaiah 45:6, Isaiah 45:23, Exodus 14, Romans 14:10, unto whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Echoing Philippians 2, that he humbled himself to be an example, even though persecuted, but unto him that the Most High has exalted him and given him a name, even a surname, the name of the Father. That unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Knowing according to Philippians 2, was around 2:13, the finally says, know ye not that it is Yah who must inspire you to do a good and acceptable thing? All my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 44:20 says, because their imaginations, men's imaginations, their vision has become dull. They cannot deliver themselves. In other words, dull by what? Preconceived, misconceived. To blind the mind against seeing the good of light. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 44 says, that one comes to prove foolish what is seen wise among men. It comes to prove foolish the so-called wisdom of the prudent men. The men are called wise. Men are called prudent. Men are called discerning. I recently started on Facebook relating a plaque, relating this fact that Messiah gave his life for those who would hear his word. Well, many today call themselves Israel. I said many today call themselves Israel. But if you were to tell them about the fact that Messiah was anciently called the Kurtee, Kerman and Son, T Rise, one who comes like the rising sun to cast out all the darkness, misconceit. The one who the scripture says be revealed when a city won, but a city of confusion, multiculturalist diversity against the perfect will of one. If ever that city is destroyed, he shall be revealed. Well, my brothers and sisters, since Messiah gave his life for those who would hear the exceeding word, the whole world is sought to deny. He did not give his life for those who would seek to retard that word. He did not give his life for those who would seek to redefine Israel without that ancient expectation of the one in Genesis 49:8-12, is also called Shiloh. The one who brings again the peace, the one unto whom all the people should gather. Gather then, my brothers and sisters, beyond the misruling factions of this earth. So what does it mean when Messiah said it? So here he said, I'm talking about getting back now to Mark 8:25. He said, for who ever seek to save his life, in other words, he would not bear the persecutions of them, irreverent, insolent, disrespectful, self-righteous world. He wasn't ever seek to save his life, knowing that many would be persecuted, many killed. In fact, during the first 4 centuries, the tally, and it's probably quite conservative, is that some 60 million were murdered because they sought to uphold the holy word. Revelation 6, talking about much that occurred in the first century, speaks about the seventh seal of the Revelation. Going into the 6th chapter of Revelation, talks about the white horse rider, which is Messiah, going forth preaching the gospel that conquers the lives of the world. Red horse riders, the nations retaliating, trying to take away that consoling, completing healing, word of peace. Black horse rider, Amos 8:11-12, famine for a word. Pale horse rider, death and hell. So what else do you expect, my brothers and sisters? But damnation is a result of the world no longer having what is necessary to see beyond the cages that it has created. Revelation goes on, my brothers and sisters, and it finally talks in the 6th seal about the great earthquake. How about when the news of a destruction of resistance, even at a city? That's what the scripture is really talking about. Compare those verses of Revelation 6:12. And 16:12. Look at them both. And it talks about Messiah rebuking all the various kings and principles and dissolute standards of the whole world. Babylon, confusion, misrepresentation, falling, that the world might reveal the will of one. My brothers and sisters, why don't I tell you about this? The article on my website, Super City Prophecy, article on my website, hiddengospel.com, article called Tribulation, 70-365 AD. All these must be, my brothers and sisters, the common knowledge of our people, that we know how to defend ourselves against the illusion. We know what the truth is. The exceeding truth Messiah gave, that must be stood up for, that men prove allegiance unto him. He said, you're my friends. Your allegiance is under me. If you love me, he would often say, keep my exceeding word. Imperative of the murders. So you say, well, what's seek to save his life? No wonder many will be persecuted in the midst of the nation. Where the greater truths are not known, not respected. In the midst of a polytheist world that he didn't want to know absolute. But whoever seeks to save his life shall lose it. But we'll stand up for truth in the midst of a world filled with cognitive dissonance. People being selective about what they want to believe. Saying that whatever they believe, the Most High will accept it. As if whatever they believe, the Most High believes it too, though they remain arrogant and ignorant. And my brothers and sisters, it's time to learn to respect the Most High so much more. It's not part of the truth that a man can believe that will cause him mature. But I want you to understand that every word of the Most High is reflective. Let's just say a resonance to the all that is his awareness, knowledge, conscience, and righteousness. Scripture says you break one law. How about if you refuse to respect the truth? I mean, again, same thing. To know what it said and not know why it is said. To take any word out of context and to break the principle of that word. When you say they call upon the name of the Most High, but do they understand the principle of that name? Know what Messiah means when he says, I am that I am, not as I am not. Many will be angry, my brothers and sisters, when Messiah declares himself as he is. It's not a God of their varying imaginations. But who he irrevocably and eternally is, according to all that he declared from the beginning eternal. Many will say, did we not in your name do this, that, and the other? And Messiah said, keep away from me, ultimately you never knew me. You're talking to false prophets, men who talk less than a pure, perfect word. He who has my words and understands them is a wise man. What about those who have the words and twist them out of context about wisdom? Is that the result of divine revelation? The sign comes to make this correction. Truly, the genuine knowledge of the Most High. It says it come to pass in the last days, all those who call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered. But he says to a remnant whom the Most High has called. Meaning the Most High will have to give them the principles of his name. But when they call upon his name, they will not misrepresent. They didn't call him outside the character of his title. For even if a man didn't know the right vocable for his name, many of the men seem to be right in the name. If a man did know the vocable, if he does not discern and respect the principles of that name that he might pray consistent with the will of the Most High, shall he be heard as one who respects the Most High? Think about it. That 47,000 denominations in the world today. I'm saying that they're the Most High. With different awareness, different conscience, even setting up cages, prison houses, after which so much greater truth is never heard, never understood, never discerned, never respected. So if you call upon the name of the Most High with disrespect, not willing to hear the fullness of his word, should the Most High be proud, pleased with such as this? Think again. He said, you did not call me, I called you. That means man has to be given a premise after which he can call upon the Most High rightly. And everyone must be poor and seek the Most High for his mercy, that he called upon the Most High rightly in the keeper's divine will. Seeking the Most High for the fruition of his will. For only then can a man be called truly a friend of the Most High. If they are my friends. Intimate friends, and if you do everything that I command you. He said, if you love me, desire to keep God maintaining the thing. Desire that discretion. Now ask the Spirit, for the Father, for the Spirit of truth. It's those who want to misrepresent and divide his will. They're not deceived. Well, in a world such as this, men want to be called wise, even saved according to all their varying imaginations. When one comes to play an absolute, they be so quickly heard. Zephaniah 2:16 to 3:6 to 3:13, speaking of the one who finally will reconcile this world so that it speaks no more any lies. The scripture says he comes first with a word to a city. He comes first with a word. To a city, my brothers and sisters, not a falling short testimony, but an exceeding word, my brothers and sisters, a reproof that all men require. And the scripture says that city will not recognize at all its shame. Yeah. Going back to Mark, going back to Mark, 8:35. They seek to save his life. They seek to compromise the word so they gather esteem from men. They lose it. Whoever shall lose his life, in other words, give his life, even though he's willing to give his life for the sake of the gospel. The thing shall save it, preserve it. If you look at the book of Acts, you find how the scriptures talk about those who martyria, willing to martyr themselves for the sake of the pure, perfect word by which men might be saved. So who else is to lose his life for the sake of my gospel? Shall save it. Messiah said in Johannes 7:7, the world cannot hate me, but it'll hate you. He said, well, well, actually, let me put them straight. He said, the world cannot hate you. We're talking about those who, like I said, they were in the process of defending. Yes, they would eventually be hated. But he said, the world cannot. Hey, you will hate me because I testify that his works are evil. In other words, he said the world will love. Let's make time to make that clear. Said, the world will love those who flatter it in its iniquity. But those who approve of injustice and mediocrity, it will hate, even seek to destroy. Hopefully that point came through much more clearly. For what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? It must be understood the principle of the resurrection, my brothers and sisters. It must be understood the principle of the resurrection. The Most High promises the world to be restored. Israel and then the nations and then all the land. Restored after the plan for which the Most High made it, like Eden. Paradise, my brothers and sisters. Across this world. And trust me, my brothers and sisters, those who will inherit this world, they will not be after the pollutions, physical, social, cultural, land, sea, and air, even. Not after any of the corruptions of conscience we see in this world today. A land of peace, my brothers and sisters, and say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're talking about holiness and all this. The world pristine according to the will of its maker. The resurrection, my brothers and sisters, means we're gaining the soul. It's not talking about that spirit that goes within man. The word for soul in the Hebrew relates even to physicality. how about a body in which a spirit as a habitation for the Holy Spirit, a conscience, restored and refined? How about a body in which that spirit, consecrated, redeemed, matured, refined, might dwell? A body, my brothers and sisters, that can inherit and can walk amidst such a glorious land. That's what the scriptures are really talking about. So, what shall a man if he gain the whole world, but have no body, no physical body, after which to enjoy a world and its riches? I want you to think about it. So, what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, my brothers and sisters. Man might be inclined if he gained a world in this corruption, he might be willing to give his very life, that he might gain a world, after which the truth of the gospel and the fullness of the message has brought to you. So wherefore, Messiah said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, whoever is ashamed will not uphold. Hey, in other words, feel ridicule by those whose values are otherwise. Who will be ashamed of his exceeding words in the world that has compromised the word of peace. Who will be ashamed of his exceeding words in a world that exalts all manner of short-sighted, partial, shallow-minded, sinful, inconscient misideas and values. Whoever will be ashamed of his exceeding word of reproof, his saving and healing word of reproof, discipline, and enlightenment in this darkened world. The scripture says, when he comes in the glory, I even, if you will, unto the honor of Yah, his Father, he says he'll be ashamed of them. When they call themselves his servants, if he would be ashamed of them who compromise his word before his Father. They put down in translation, holy angels. But the word for angels is also message, messenger. In other words, because of his exceeding conscience and his message, he would be ashamed of those who compromise that message of the ideas of another. And he said, then verily I say unto you, there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste death. In other words, really means they should not cease in their perseverance to gain their souls. Oh, please read. Revelation 2:26-26. Declaring that man must seek the perfect word of the Most High above and beyond all the nations. If there's some here will not taste death, well, how about I will not cease in their perseverance to the fullness of all that is righteous? They remain steadfast in the faith till they see. How about even they attain the kingdom of Yah? When it comes in the fullness of this heavenly, under all this globe, righteousness and power. To understand this better, I want you to look at Luke 21:25. And understand the meaning. To decode this word and understand it in its right context. Oh, and I got so much more to say about this. Luke 21:15. I will give you a mouth and a wisdom. Said that exceeding word and many mighty men who will seek to hold lesser standards, will divide his word and divide the conscience of men. There's an exceeding word, my brothers and sisters, that many of them will seek to hide and not perverse silence and destroy. So I give you a mouth and a wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Many seek to twist the words to their own advantage. Read Isaiah 56:9-57:14. Misrepresenting the word, the scripture says, all your leaders have become so corrupt, greedy enough that they can't understand. They cannot speak a true word. And the scripture says in Hosea, Hosea has a controversy with his people. But in the midst of so many being destroyed for lack of knowledge, the Aramaic reads it this way: your mother keeps silence. What is a true mother? The one who seeks the fullness of all that is divine will with a child. Might mature unto what the Most High desires. Oh, if I had more time to talk about that one. Luke 21, 16. And you shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause you put to death. Besides that, you have to hold the heaven, stand steadfast with strength in the midst of this persecution. And he said, you've been hated by all nations for my name's sake. How about hated by all nations because he teaches that gospel, that pure, perfect word, the peace. That's what the word gospel relates. It's not of this world, not of its divisions. Hey, a lot of times folks don't want to hear that there's a standard beyond that which is esteemed by men when they seek the favor of men more than the trustworthiness and favor of the Most High God. Hearing you should be hated by all men for my name's sake. But get this 18th verse. But there shall not. He said already something we put to death. And the disciples, my brothers and sisters, you need to understand the apostles. All of them in some way. According to the records, except for maybe Hannah. Put to death. By even not only Rome, but some of those who followed after the rulership, the public priesthood that was in Israel at the time. You see that 18th verse? For there shall not a hair of your head perish. In other words, in the resurrection, it shall all be restored. He said, and in your perseverance, in your steadfastness, how about your steadfastness in his will, shall you gain your souls? Realize 1 Corinthians 1:10. In the name unto the honor of the Most High, we must all speak the same thing. No divisions among us. One understanding. And one God is saved. And in worship of such a holy one, the thing they say of God. The God is saved, he has no law. The men fall victim to the lesser standards of men. Let no man consider himself so wise. I said, let no man consider himself so wise before the time when Messiah comes to reveal the hidden thing the men have not considered. And then shall every man, I said, and then shall every man know what it is to praise and honor God. So Isaiah 40, declaring that we must seek again what is the full peace of the Most High beyond ourselves. All three of my brothers and sisters, in anticipation of that one called the righteous one who comes suddenly like the rising sun to cast all the darkness. Says, fear not, brethren, and be not dismayed, for I am your Holy One. I am the Savior. Just for those my brothers and sisters who realize what salvation really is. But when I desecrate honor the Holy Name, that will seek the Most High for all that He is. It appears my time is right out. You may not be hearing this because maybe I have a little past time. But I can only say this again to you, my brother, because I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings me. And I would truly implore you, in the honor of the Holy Name, in devotion unto the Most High, who is as He is, that you please stay tuned to this show. Whenever you see it advertised on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, subscribe to it. Get notifications regarding it's hearing. I would strongly suggest, my brothers and sisters, you check out my website. Articles like at hiddengospel.com, articles like The Super City Prophecies, articles like Early Church Origin, articles like like Prophetic Proof. The exceeding words, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has granted, you may get it, need to declare. But I tell you that no one is made whole without them. Articles like Tribulation 70, 365 A.D., understanding all that was prophesied in advance. But his world, my brothers and sisters, in his lawlessness, has always been a test to see who will stand up with for what is fully and all things lawful. Find out how you can become a constituent, partnered in a ministry, my brothers and sisters, Most High is truly called for the healing of his people. So until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, again, thankful to the Most High for every ear that he brings near. Unto all that is his might, unto all his might and glory, the one Most High, and his might, majesty, strength, and honor, and praise, reverent praise always. Hallelujah. And I thank you all again, as I do, for listening. And trust me, my brothers and sisters, I do intend to elaborate upon this more. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, in preparation for what is to come, what the Most High said must be, we must prepare for what was once only a dream, must indeed even now be done.